social media at Wilcox Wellness Fitness.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Jacob Valley at Bangor Dental Associates letting you know that we are dedicated to providing the highest standard of dental care in a pleasant and comfortable environment. Our top priority is helping you achieve and maintain a beautiful and healthy smile. Here at our practice, we offer a full range of services, including dental implants, porcelain veneers, tooth color fillings, and teeth whitenings. We also have same-day CEREC crown technology, so you can walk in, get a crown the same day, and walk out with no second appointment.
Visit their website at BangorDentalAssociates.com or call 207-947-7000. Back on downtown at 27 after 5 o'clock. Rich Kimble, Kerry Haskell with you. And a little taste of the brand new album from friend of downtown, Don McLean.
Little sister, don't you? Little sister, don't you? Little sister, don't you kiss me once or twice? Say it's very nice and then you run. Little sister, don't you do what your big sister done.
Don's new album is called Still Playing Favorites. It's a follow-up to his 1973 album of covers. We had a chance to catch up with him yesterday and talk about the making of the new album. Hey, Don, this is Rich Kimble. Thanks for coming back on with us to talk about the new album.
Well, thank you for having me.
Hey, Don, this is Rich Kimble. Thanks for coming back on with us to talk about the new album.
Well, thank you for having me.
Really enjoy the album, a worthy follow-up to your 1973 album. What's the criteria for you when picking songs that someone else wrote? Does it have to be a song that you can relate to, that you understand?
Well, it's got to be a song that I can sing in a superior way. I mean, I don't want to be doing something where I do a bad version of something. You know, you can like a song, like I like the song The Lush Life that Nat King Cole used to sing. It was written by a guy named Billy Strayhorn. I couldn't sing that song. It's too avant-garde as a piece of pop jazz music for me to do. But I can sing a song like Last Night When We Were Young, which is probably a song of the same age, and it's on the Botanical Gardens album. The only song I didn't write, but you know, there are certain songs that I know how to sing and that I can transmit, and there are others that I like but that I would never attempt because it's like a piece of clothing, you know, it wouldn't suit me. So that's pretty much the criterion. You know, it has to be something that I can get behind and really deliver.
Well, you do that and more, and such a wide variety of songs that I'm sure reflect your taste in music, the various influences along the way. But I have to say, of all the songs on this album, the one that I like the most is, I think, the one that has the most different feel from the original version, or the version we all know. It's your great take on Greenback Dollar.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, I've always liked the old Kingston Trio when I was a kid. I still like them, especially the early records with Dave Gard. But that was done with the second group, with John Stewart. They kept making hit records, and I never heard anybody do that song. And what I love about it is it really sums up my philosophy, which is all I really understand is a good song and a good guitar. I mean, that's taken me everywhere. So I can get behind that and change a couple of chords and then just let the band rip, because I've got some great guitar players that always are on the road with me. And it's fun to have these songs to plug in here and there after I do, say, a group of songs of mine, and, you know, then something different. So that was how the album actually got started, was a lot of those songs I recorded in the studio and had them left over, and suddenly I had an album.
What drew you to the Johnny Cash song that leads off the album, So Doggone Lonesome?
I just, I understand that song. You know, I've waited, you know, for people, girlfriends, whatever, you know, and waited and waited, you know, and focused on it. 60 minutes more to wait for you. You know, it's, I guess I'll keep on loving you forever. You know, this kind of thing. Johnny Cash was a very lonely guy in some ways, and so was Roy Orbison, and they were very good friends. And they were both decked out in black most of the time, and they were supremely talented people that transmitted that loneliness into what they did. That's what you really hear, you know. It's not the song, it's them. And there's a little of me in that kind of thing as well. I have a lot of loss in some of my songs, pain. And that's why I knew both of them, and they were friends of mine. And so this song is a song he wrote for Ernest Tubb, actually. And Ernest Tubb is a terrific artist. I love a lot of the things that he does. But, you know, I do my best to hide this low-down feeling. Try to tell myself there's nothing wrong. But they always asking me about you, darling, and hurts me so to tell them that you're gone. That's just tremendous.
Yeah, you've got also got a wonderful version of Mel Tillis' song I wrote with Webb Pierce, became a big hit for Webb, I Ain't Never.
Yeah, that one is a blast. And we usually it just rolls along, the two verses, but I arranged it so there's a kind of a breakdown in it where the guitars take over and it changes key for a bit. And I really think it helped this song work out for me. It just kind of breaks down, you know, a low thing, and then it comes back out of it. But, you know, again, this is a song about women and that kind of girl you can never quite control. You can't quite get her to behave. And, you know, you go to the door and she's not home anymore and all this stuff. It's like so the Rodney Dangerfield joke. He said, "This girl came up to me. Said, come to my house. There's nobody there. I went to her house. There was nobody there."
You do a couple of songs that Elvis recorded, including one that I've always thought is the best of that period between Elvis going off to the army and the '68 special, "A Little Sister."
Yeah, those were Doc Thomas songs that he did. And it was a little different. It had like a electric bass and didn't have the upright. Bob Moore on upright. Bob Moore was a great upright player, the greatest of all time. He's on "Crying," my version of "Crying." He's on "Since I Don't Have You," "Macassus in the Air." What a great player! But they had a different guy playing electric bass, and still had the Jordanaires. And that was, you know, his latest flame and "The Fool Such as I" and all those tunes. A little bit more pop, I guess, and not quite as bluesy as the early stuff, which is still, you know, you can't beat "All Shook Up." I mean, you know, and a lot of those songs did not have drums. "All Shook Up" does not have drums. "Don't Be Cruel" does not have drums. It's just him beating the back of his guitar.
Right.
It's a very effective way of emphasizing the rhythm without a full drum. But Jerry, my drummer, said, "Why don't we make a real intimate kind of close thing like this?" And he started to work on that rhythm thing, and that's where that all came from. And I don't know, there's some stuff going on there. I don't know what those guys did, you know. And then I just got with it. As far as the singing goes.
We're talking with Don McLean. His new album is called Still Playing Favorites. Love your version of Bessie Smith's "Backwater Blues," a great vocal and a great musicianship as well on that.
Well, I first heard that song from Bessie Smith because I'm a big Bessie Smith fan. I think I got there was a wonderful collection of Columbia Records put out 5 albums of all of her songs. Now, Bessie recorded in the 1920s and 30s. She was dead in 33, I think, so it was mostly the 20s. Direct to disc. So there was no in-between generations lost. that went directly from her mouth right onto that disc. Okay, so those songs are actually quite faithful to how she really sounded. And I first heard Backwater Blues on that one. Then I have a Josh White version that I had, and then I used to live with Brownie McGee and Sonny Terry in the 60s for a couple of years. We worked a nightclub together in Lenox, Massachusetts. I was the opening act, and we did like 2 weeks together, sometimes 4 weeks, and we would stay in the same communal area where they had bunks, you know, and I would sit and listen to Brownie play guitar all day and talk to Sonny about his life, and Brownie would play the Backwater Blues.
I was not familiar with Got the Bull by the Horns, but that was a Johnny Horton recording, and one that I guess you've done in concert for some time?
Yeah, I changed that song a little bit, but that's just a blaster. You know, yes, it starts with my guitar blasting away, and then and sometimes we do it after American Pie, or we do three or four encores. We'll do one of those songs, and just set the guitar players loose, you know, in the audience, basically, you know, riffing like crazy and just having a good time.
I'm great to see too that you've partnered up with the people at Time Life to release a whole lot of great music from your catalog. Over 170 songs available now on streaming services.
Yes, it's the Don McLean YouTube channel, and there's so much more on there. I mean, they're coming out with stuff right and left. They're uploading things, and they're asking me to do things, you know, from home here. So I've done a number of videos on how I play guitar and how I sing with the guitar. And I did a double video on folk banjo styles, because I'm getting old, and most of the really great folk banjoists like Seeger and Eric Darling and people like that are not alive anymore. And I learned everything they know how to do. And I was a good banjo player, a five stringer back in the 60s and 70s. And I learned all their little tricks and the strums that they do. I could never quite do it maybe as well, but I did my own thing. And so I wanted to get that on tape so that anybody that comes along, it's not Scruggs style, which is three-fingered style bluegrass banjo. It's a whole different thing, and it's a variety of different strums and sounds that you can get out of this wonderful instrument. So I did that. I'm really happy I did it. And I actually, once in a while, I put it on and listen to it. I think, it's not too bad, you know, it's okay.
Are you going to be on Larry's Country Diner tonight and on Saturday at 11 on RFD TV? What was that experience like?
Well, you know, I went out to Nashville. I mean, the big experience was getting on a plane and flying to Nashville with my girlfriend for about a week, 5 days. I didn't know what to expect. Neither of us did. We've been there many times. And we get to the hotel, it's a Hilton, and the room is sealed. There's like a seal. It's like some sort of a sci-fi movie, you know? So we open the door of the room, and then no maid will come back in the room while you're there.
Wow.
So there's no service. If you want towels, they'll put it out in front of your room. So it's just your germs, and that's it, you know? So this is very weird. So I can't get anything, but the restaurant was open. So I called down. The lady said, I said, there's nobody here, is there? She said, not really. It's about 10% occupancy, and they have a skeleton crew on. But the restaurant was open, so we had dinner down there several times. It was very nice. Everybody was great, and we went over and did some things. And nobody was in the street, hardly any traffic. So it was pretty crazy, and then we drove up to where Larry's Diner is, which is, you know, way out of town. It's about an hour away from downtown Nashville, and it was a lot of fun. I really have enjoyed all the friends and neighbors that I've met in Nashville throughout the last 40 years or more. I mean, my lawyers are in Nashville. My musicians are in Nashville. Everything, my current management and PR people are in Nashville. It's home to me, you know, and I know their families and know their kids. And So that was great because, you know, sort of a lone wolf like me, I never get to know too many people, but I sure have known a lot there. So it was like that, you know. There was one of the members of the, what's the name of the group? The quartet. They just disbanded and their bass player passed away. I can't think of their name right now. Statler Brothers. I love those guys. You know, the guitar player in the Statler Brothers was there. He was the nicest guy. And
is that Don Reed?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, good guy.
And I saw the Statlers at Carnegie Hall with Johnny Cash in 1968. And before I met Cash. And boy, that was a great show. And outside, they were selling that Folsom Prison album, and I bought one. And that was a night I'll never forget. And Johnny made his big comeback that night in New York because 4 years before that, he was a junkie, and they just about run his ass out of town. Right. You know, he got the worst review. He still hurt. When I talked to him and got to know him, he said, you know, that review in New York City, they said, why don't you just go back to Arkansas? You know, you got no talent and this and that. You know, you don't get over these things. It hurts.
I understand you're a big Western fan, Don. What's your favorite Western movie of all time?
Well, I mean, you know, that's a big... I love the... you want to talk about this for a minute, I'll tell you. When Western movies started in the 70s, and I knew a guy in upstate New York who used to write to all the old Western stars, who, by the way, were still on the road in the 1970s with small circuses. And one of them was the great Colonel Tim McCoy, who was still on the road with a small circus. And so was fascinated, you know. And so I would read these letters that he would write. They would all write back. They were very genuine gentlemen, you know. They would answer their fan mail personally. And sometimes McCoy would ask for a lottery ticket. You know, it was really funny. So... You know, I enjoy the really early great He-Men of the Western genre. They are Buck Jones, Ken Maynard, Coot Gibson, Tim McCoy, Tom Mix. Those guys are my favorite. They're the most, really the most magical of all of them. The later singing cowboys, I like them. I like Gene Autry quite a bit. In fact, I have a number of Gene Autry's personal possessions because his wife lives out here and they were selling some of them. I have his watch fob and I have his wristwatch and I have a bunch of things that belong to Gene. But of course, in modern times, I would say that The Searchers is really the best and most beautiful Western there ever was.
Hard to argue with that. Don McLean, the new album, still playing favorites, finds you in wonderful voice. It's a terrific collection, and it's so great to have you back on our show to talk with us once again. Thanks for making time for us. Stay safe and be well, and hopefully
make sure you play all those tracks on your radio station.
You got it, and hopefully we'll get that Broadway show at some point when all of that reopens.
Well, I'll be back anytime you want. I have property in Maine quite a bit, and I've been a resident of Maine for like 35 years, so I love the state.
Well, we love your music, Don. Great to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank
today.
You. I appreciate that.
That's Don McLean back on Dantown. New album is a terrific collection of covers, still playing favorites.